This is episode 46 of the Great Speech Podcast on why you get nervous with public speaking and how to use this to give a great speech.
Let's go.
It's a Great Speech Podcast for the public speakers. We're going way down deep to look at what makes a communicator. We'll look at all different topics from the bottom to the top. So get your mind free of all the distractions and please listen up, listen up, listen up.
It's the Great Speech Podcast.
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 Thanks, Dad. Welcome back, my great communicators. How you guys doing? I hope you are well. I hope you are listening to this episode somewhere where you feel calm and warm and welcome so that we can share our thoughts together. I appreciate you guys always listening. It gives me the fuel I need to keep going. I am, of course, Kolarele Shonaike, your host, your communication super skills coach. Reach out to me. You know the drill, right? Reach out to me as many, many people have done. It's actually a big way in which I build my client base who want help with their communication because they know that they are good at what they do. But without being excellent communicators, you're really going to undermine your own potential success in your career or your business. So that's what I do. If you want me to prove it, which some of you may do, scroll down in the show notes. You'll see links to my free communication skills workshop. It's really, really good. I mean, and I say that because that is the feedback I have had. It's not just me kind of pumping myself up. You'll also see a link to my Nail My Speech program, which is an online public speaking course if you want to take it a bit further. And you'll actually see one other link. For the first time in my podcast history, I have at various times been asked by people to promote things or advertise things. I've resisted because I just don't want to do stuff like that, except where it's actually something that I use. Whenever I'm meeting people online, especially my clients, I use a service called MeetFox. Which is kind of, so why I like it is it's a really good platform that allows me to put my diary out there. People can link in, book in, and then the whole service kind of sends them emails, sends them text messages to remind them of a meeting, records the meeting, and then I can send that out to them as well. So it's kind of an all-in-one thing with kind of Zoom and calendar and a whole lot of other stuff thrown in, which I love. So I've been using it for years. And actually, they reached out and said, hey, look, you know, you actually seem to like our software. Why not kind of mention it? So I'm mentioning it, you guys. MeetFox, here you go. Here's your plug from me, only because I actually use it. I got a link. If you scroll down, you'll see a link that will link you to it. Heads up, they gave me a partnership kind of deal thing where if you actually end up subscribing, I get something. I have to say, I didn't really look very carefully at what that something is, but just to be kind of open with you guys. So there you go. MeetFox, try it out. See what you think. The episode today, let me give you my quote of the episode. Let me get the link up again. Yes. So the quote of the episode is, I don't get nervous in any situation. There's no such thing as nerves when you're playing games. And that is by the great basketball legend, Shaquille O'Neal. Because today we are going to be talking about one of the biggest topics that I get asked about by clients, by friends, colleagues, pretty much everyone, which is, why do I get so nervous when it comes to public speaking and what should I do about it? It just is one of those things. We all get it. We all get. So there's different degrees. Some people are absolutely petrified to the point of being paralyzed. And some kind of only get a little bit of the butterflies. And then there's everything in between. So this episode is really targeted at what's going on with us? Why does public speaking trigger so much by way of nerves? There have been loads of surveys that suggest that public speaking is, you know, humankind's greatest fear, even above death. I'm not sure about that, but yeah, no, apparently. So this is the episode kind of focused on that. Now, actually, what I'm doing is I delivered a live session, a LinkedIn live, although it actually goes out to other social media as well, but I call it my LinkedIn lives. And I did this topic and I thought, actually, you know what? That is such a simple, self-enclosed topic for half an hour on a very distinct topic. I might as well share that with my podcast audience, because I know not all of you are connected with me on LinkedIn. I say not all of you, but most of you are not connected with me on LinkedIn. So I thought, let me put it on here because I think you guys will get value out of it. So the audio might be a little bit tinnier than you're used to, because when you're doing stuff live, you're kind of putting it out there on social media. It's not quite as great audio quality, but it's fine. You guys can hear me perfectly. You might hear me kind of reach out to people or kind of say, oh, the slides have gone or whatever it is. Just bear with it, because this is a recording of something that I did, not specifically for a podcast, but I think it works on there as well. So as usual, do sit back, listen and enjoy. Reach out to me if you want some help. Do share this podcast with somebody that you know needs help with their communication. We all know somebody. And of course, if you give me a review, I will give you a shout out in the very next episode, because I truly, truly appreciate that support. Okay, guys, enjoy the episode. Okay, so it's 1 o'clock. I always start on time. I know many of you will be watching this on the replay, so we're going to get on with it today. Because the topic we're going to be covering is about nerves and public speaking, which still remains the single most common or largest kind of concern that people have when it comes to communication, or at least when they approach me about communication. Jules, Jack, thank you. All clear. Good. Great to have you on, Jules. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. So the big thing is about nerves and being nervous when public speaking and the impact that that has. Many of my clients, this may be you as well, will actually avoid opportunities to present or give speeches, even though they know it would be beneficial for their careers. But they will avoid those opportunities because their nerves get the better of them. Which means that they lose out on the fantastic opportunities that great presenting, great public speaking actually offers. Sonal, yes, great to have you on. I'm looking forward to doing our LinkedIn Live together, actually. So they miss out on those opportunities. So what I thought today I was going to do is to really kind of break down why you get nervous with public speaking. Because I've realized that the more you understand what's going on with you when that happens and when the butterflies really rise, or when the fear takes over, the more you understand why that is happening, actually that's the beginnings of being able to address it, deal with it, and handle it as well. So we're going to go through this stuff. Let me change my slide so you guys can see that. I'm going to get rid of this caption, so you can see everything as well. So we're going to cover why you get nervous with public speaking and how to use those nerves to be great at presentations. So now I'm going to geek out a little bit, guys. Okay. As I said, so I'm a bit of a nerd with this stuff anyway. I kind of literally study every paper that comes on about this. So I kind of come to my own conclusions about why it happens. Which is going to involve a little bit of the science bit, as you know, there's an advert, I think it's L'Oreal or Pantene or something, here comes the science bit. So I'm going to geek out a little bit, but bear with me, because I promise you that it will make sense. And actually, once you know the kind of the sciencey bit, it's actually going to help with understanding that there's nothing wrong with you if you feel nerves, you are entirely normal, and you can do something about it as well. So here we go. Now, first part is to understand in very rudimentary form how the brain works. Somebody says they've lost visual. I'm hoping you guys can see me still. Just put in a chat that you can still see me. Someone said they've lost my visual, but I'm hoping you can still see me. So I'm going to talk about how the brain works, because for our purposes, right, I'm not going to go into deep neuroscience, although I have studied a lot of this stuff as well. But for a lot of, for our purposes today, we really want to think about the brain being divided into three different parts. There is the neocortex, which is basically the, hey, Roz, great to have you. Thank you, Jules, you can hear me again. Great. So there's the neocortex, which is basically the rational part of the brain. That is actually the brain that in human beings evolved the most recent, although we're still talking millions of years, right? But it evolved the most recently in human beings. And it's actually the part of the brain that pretty much defines who we are as human beings, because it's the part that gives us our rationality, our ability to reason and use that rationality to fashion the world around us. It's what really distinguishes us between other species, for instance. Then before that part of the brain evolved, you had the limbic system, which is all often known as the emotional part of the brain, deals with creativity, motivation, things like that. And that is a different part of the brain to the neocortex, although they are, of course, interrelated, because as we know, we all have emotions and very often we are governed by them. And then there is the reptilian brain, And the reptilian brain is really what we're most concerned with for today. That is the earliest part of the brain that evolved in human beings. And it is the part of the brain that deals with the kind of the autonomous nervous system that governs kind of our most essential functions. So feeding, the urge to eat, fighting when we have to fight to protect ourselves, fleeing, flight when we have to run, and reproduction. There's another word that starts with F, but I'm not going to say that. This is a family show, right? So it deals with our most essential functions. Make sure that we breathe all the time without having to think about it. All of those kind of stuff. And that's what the primal reptilian brain does. When people talk about it, they most of all talk about it as the fight or flight instinct. That is, you're faced with a dinosaur. Are you going to run or are you going to fight it? Probably best not to fight it, but let's assume that, right? The reptilian brain kicks into survival mode and gets you entirely focused on achieving that kind of unitary task of running or fighting. Or feeding or breathing or whatever it is. That's what the reptilian brain does. Now, a bit more geeking out, right? Just bear with me, guys, because the mechanism by which it primarily does this is by triggering various hormones to course through your body. There's norepinephrine, cortisol. But for our purposes, the most important hormone chemical that it triggers through the body is adrenaline. Right. Adrenaline is what the primal brain says, there's a problem, survival mode. Here's a whole heap of adrenaline that you're going to need to do the various things that we know you're about to have to do in order to survive the dinosaur or whatever it is. And adrenaline does certain things. So it stimulates glucose for your muscle use, because if you're running, fighting, fleeing, whatever it is you're doing, you're basically going to need as much energy as possible to go to your muscles, to every part of your body, so that you can deal with whatever the threat is. It's also going to stimulate rapid breathing, because you're going to need a whole load of oxygen that's going to be part of the cells that's going to carry the oxygen to the muscles and let you kind of get all the energy you need. It's going to stimulate rapid heart beating, because you're going to need your heart pumping blood to every part of your body to deal with the physical threat that you are facing. And it's going to stimulate perspiration, because your body knows it's about to overheat. Perspiration's purpose is really to cool you down. It kind of floods water in your system so that that cools you down eventually. So that is what adrenaline is going to do. Now, I'm hoping that those of you who are with me and kind of stuck through this science bit can start to see how this is relating to public speaking and your nerves. How this relates to public speaking and your nerves. Because, of course, when you stand up in front of an audience, it feels like you are under threat. Because it feels like you are one person standing on your own. And by human nature, we evolve and we feel like we're part of a group or meant to be part of a group. And so when we're standing on our own in front of an audience who's looking at us, it feels like we are apart from the social group that by nature we kind of evolve through. And that tells the body, hey, this feels like you are under threat. And once your body feels like it is under threat, it kicks into survival mode. The reptilian brain kicks in and starts to tell your body, you need to do something about it. I.e., you need to flood the system with adrenaline because we're about to go to war or battle, or we're about to run or do something that requires all our focus to be on our physicality. And so if you start to think about it, right? If adrenaline stimulates glucose for muscle use, right? All that adrenaline, your muscles are pumped and ready. But when you are standing still giving a presentation, even if you're moving about a little bit, you're not really using all of that muscle, that all the energy for the muscles that the adrenaline is trying to get to you to use. But it has to do something. It has to go somewhere. But that's what then results in things like your hands shaking or your knees knocking. It's the adrenaline basically saying, do something with me. Do you get it? Ross says, love the way you explain this. The power pose you share in your course is a regular go-to. Yes, power pose definitely works. Absolutely. In fact, I'll talk a little bit about that at the end, Ross. Thanks for sharing that. But yes, so do you see that if your muscles are kind of pumped, ready to do something, but you're not really doing that much with them because all you're doing is standing still and giving a presentation, then it results in things like hands shaking and knees knocking. And then if you're thinking about stimulating rapid breathing, that's what leads to some symptoms that people feel where they literally are hyperventilating. I've had clients tell me that they almost hyperventilate. They just almost can't control their breathing. That's because that is what adrenaline does to your system. It wants you to take in more oxygen so that that can be carried to the muscles to give it more energy. But you're not using those muscles, and so you just end up breathing, hyperventilating. That also affects dry mouth, because the more you breathe, actually that dries out your mouth. So, you know, those of you who feel, oh gosh, my tongue feels like sandpaper when I'm about to speak, it's related to that. And one other function as well, which we'll talk about later. Also relates to your voice trembling, because the rapid breathing means you're not really able to control all of that area, which relates very much to your voice and why it starts to tremble, right? And other symptoms. So because adrenaline stimulates rapid heart beating, that's why many of you will feel that pounding in your chest, right? Do you get that? See, your heart is beating fast. It's beating heavily because it's got to pump all of that blood through your system to get you ready. That is literally why you will feel your heart pounding in your chest when you feel under threat, because of the nature of presentations and public speaking, which is it's me with everybody else. Which is also actually why you will probably find that if you're doing a panel discussion, for instance, where there are a number of you speaking to an audience, you will generally find that you are less stressed about it because it doesn't trigger the same feeling of being isolated and under threat. And then, of course, stimulating of perspiration, right? So you literally sweat. And that's actually mine. So many of you will know, I've said this before, that my particular kind of nerve or fear symptom, if it gets the better of me, is that I start to sweat. Kind of, it starts usually around my forehead where I've lost my hair, and then it just kind of cascades down my face. That is the adrenaline doing what it should do, because that is what the reptilian brain has told it needs to do. So if you have any of those symptoms, with public speaking, with nerves. This is why. This is your body doing what it is designed to do, but just not recognizing, because of evolution's a million year thing, right? Just not recognizing that you're not under the threat that it thinks you are. There's one other as well, right? So we talked about the three parts of the brain, but there's something else that the reptilian brain does when it comes to that moment of fight or flight, or it feels the threat, which is that effectively it tells the other parts of the brain to shut down. Because think about it, right? If you you're about to walk in the middle of a road and you didn't look properly and there's a car screeching next to you and you have to jump out the way and, you know, whatever it is. In that moment, there is nothing else in your mind or in your brain other than get out of the way. Nothing. If you think to any moments in your life where you have had to exercise sudden physical kind of strength or activity because of either threat or because, you know, you're even in a sport to an extent, you will find that actually your body or your reptilian brain clears everything else out of your mind so that your unitary single focus is taking the action you need to take to avert the threat that you are under into survival mode effectively. And in that mode, you don't really need your emotions. You don't really need your rationality. What you need is your instinct for survival to get out of the danger. Ross says mine is blinking. Yeah, well, we're working on that. And actually, yours is pretty much improved and almost disappeared, Ross. So good that you know it. But yes, that's all related to your body basically feeling like it's got to do stuff. So your reptilian brain tells the other kind of parts of the brain, right now, we do not need you. Shut down. I want all of our resources focused on dealing with this threat. And that is why, if you return to the symptoms, one of the big ones that I know many of you feel and kind of experience is all the essentials are shut down. Let me get myself out of the way there. All the essentials are shut down. And there we go. I'm out of the way. All the essentials shut down. Right? All the non-essentials rather shut down. Your mind goes blank, right? You forget what you wanted to say. That is such a big one that happens when people get the nerve, when people get the public speaking fear, is that they get up there and suddenly everything starts to swim and their mind goes blank and they, you know, can't get the words out and things like that. All of those things is what your body is actually designed to do when it feels under threat, when it feels that it's in a situation that it has to have everything focused on survival in order to deal with this perceived threat. Oops, yeah, so there's my screen system going. Let me just recover that. So what you guys have to focus on is how do you deal with that perceived threat, right? How do you deal with it? And what we're going to do now is, So what we're going to do now is focus on why that happens, which we've done, and how to actually address it. Because the thing that I want you guys most of all to understand is that you are normal, right? You are normal. There isn't anything wrong with you. In fact, quite the opposite. You are doing what your body was designed to do. So really, if you think about it, if that is what your body is designed to do when it feels under threat, there really is only one thing that you can and should do in order to make your body not do those things, which is to teach it that it is not under threat, right? And in a sense, you've almost got to think of it as what the parent does with a child when the child is, you know, fearful or whatever it is. It kind of goes into soothing mode. It really goes into soothing mode to basically say, look, there's nothing to fear here, right? It deals with the externals. It deals with the internals. You'll caress the child, let the child feel your own slower heartbeat. So it recognizes, I might be scared and I might be worried, but actually there isn't really anything to fear. And that's what you've got to basically do for your system so that it learns that although I'm standing apart from everybody else facing what might look like a hostile group, actually, there's nothing to fear. I can handle this. I can deal with this. So what are the things that you should do? Well, the first and actually most important one that I always emphasize to people is if you know that you are going to have to do some public speaking, you're going to have to give a speech or presentation, the most important thing you should focus on is giving great value. So put a huge amount of your effort into having something of great value to say. I always tell people this is if you know that you are about to share something with people that they could only get from you, or you've put so much thought and detailed preparation into it that you know it's going to blow their minds, it's so much easier to give that kind of presentation. It really is, because you will go there excited about, wow, I'm about to share this amazing thing with them. They're going to love it. It's so much easier. Whereas if you haven't put that work in, if you haven't worked out what is going to be a valuable message for people to hear from me, what is it that's going to make it worth their time to sit through the 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 hour that I'm going to kind of make them sit through? If you know that you don't really have something that is of great value to share, you're going to feel much more fearful, because it's going to feel like they are not your partners who are going to love you, but your kind of enemies who you feel like you're wasting their time. So you've got to flip that and make sure that you are basically going in knowing that your audience is going to love you. They're not going to seem like a threat. And therefore, that's going to tell your reptilian brain, you know what? I don't really need you right now, because I kind of am okay. I know what I'm doing. So that's one thing to focus on. Another, and you will hear me talk about this over and over again, prepare and practice. Prepare. So work out, do all the audience analysis, all of that stuff. You know, work out your theme. If you guys listen to my podcast, I'm doing a whole series right now about how to give a great speech. It's going through different elements. So really listen to that. It's called the Great Speech Podcast. You guys probably know about it. But really prepare and practice, right? You think about it. The first time you ever do a skydive or a bungee jump, you're going to be absolutely bricking it, right? It's inevitable. First time you ever jump out of a plane or whatever it is, it's going to be terrifying. You know, some may flake out, some may get the nerves up to do it and take that leap. But either way, it doesn't matter who you are, it's going to be terrifying. The second time you do it, it's going to be fearful, but a little bit better. The third time, better, better, until after a while, you're kind of almost able to do it without that much fear being triggered. Why? Because you've acclimatized. You've told your body, you know what? I've done this before. Although it looks scary, there's nothing to worry about. I don't need that much adrenaline to deal with what I'm about to deal with. The more you practice your presentations, even in your mind, if you don't have the time to really practice out loud, the more you are signaling to your body and your reptilian brain in particular, don't need you right now, chill with the adrenaline, all right? So you've got to make sure you do that. Next, get to know your audience. And if you think about it, it's logical, right? So the more you get to know your audience, the more you're basically telling your whole body that I know these people. They're not enemies. They're not about to come and attack me. So I don't need to see them as people that are scary. I don't need reptilian brain guy to send any adrenaline because we've got this. So get to know your audience. That can be as much as researching them. I've done a great episode on that in my podcast. Or it can be actually, and I will do this often before a presentation if I have time, I will go in amongst my audience and I'll chat to people and I'll kind of get to know them. I'll even ask them questions related to the topic that I'm about to speak on, just to get a sense of where people are on it. And it helps me to kind of familiarize with my audience, helps them to acclimatize towards me. It's great actually for getting interaction, because the difference when you've spoken to people beforehand with how ready they are to interact than if you don't know them at all, you're just kind of coming in cold, is really, really quite serious. So that's another good one to do. Familiarize yourself with the venue and the test the equipment. So know where the mic is. You know, if you're going to have slides, you know, work the system a little bit beforehand, because what you're doing is you're taking away as much unfamiliarity as possible so that it feels less threatening. And therefore your reptilian brain doesn't need to take over your entire system. Burn excess adrenaline. Now, this is partly where the power pose that Roz mentioned comes in, which actually, although you're standing still, because you're standing still in a very kind of particular way, which is kind of hand ups, hips, you know, power pose, Wonder Woman style, you actually use up some of that adrenaline. Or, which I often advise, is walk around a little bit. Right? Just use it up. You know, I've said to some people, listen, do a couple of press ups, just use that adrenaline before you go on stage so that you've said to your body, okay, I know I've still got some of it in my system. I'm going to use it up on stuff that it's meant to, i.e. physicality, so that when I get on stage, I'm actually a little bit less kind of stressed about things and not too much adrenaline coursing through my veins because I've kind of used it up. So you can do that. And certainly when you are giving speeches, if you can move about whilst you are speaking, that's also a really great way of, first of all, not being static, which is great for the presentation and your audience, but also using up some of that adrenaline that is still kind of running through your system. And then the final one, which really works well, and it's actually quite ingenious. And if you think about it, it's why meditation and yoga and all those things work very well. Which is, if you do deep, calm breathing or even meditate, what that does is it basically says to your rational brain, I'm going to tell my reptilian brain, don't need you right now. So you breathe deeply, you meditate, because the body only breathes slowly and calmly and stays still and, you know, has peace when there isn't a problem. And if you do that, you're telling your body, your reptilian brain, listen, would I be breathing this calmly if there was a problem? No. So shut down the adrenaline. I don't need it right now. And your reptilian brain gets the message and says, oh, okay, you know what? We probably don't need any, or we don't need as much adrenaline because, hey, wouldn't be sitting calmly and, you know, thinking about, you know, outer space or whatever it is, if there was a genuine problem. So that's why slow, steady breathing works very well, because it sends your body the right message, which means your adrenaline is going to be reduced. But there will always be a little bit of adrenaline still in your system. Even now, although I'm a barrister, I'm giving speeches all the time. And of course I do keynote speaking and I'm training and coaching. Every time I speak, even before today, there is a little bit of the butterflies that comes into your system. And that's because you'll never truly eliminate it, because just we're talking evolution, right? This is millions of years in the making. So you'll never truly eliminate it. But if you take all those steps, now that you understand what's going on, and take those steps to reduce it, then it becomes a great benefit. Because instead of allowing that adrenaline to kind of take over your overall system, you use that adrenaline to give you passion, It's adrenaline becomes fuel to deliver your speech or presentation with passion, so that it's like, yeah, you know what, this person really buys into what they're saying. And the great advantage of showing passion when you speak, and I don't mean passion as in you're running around crazy, but I mean that internal passion of this person really loves what they're saying or loves the topic they're talking about or really believes in what they are saying. The great benefit of that is that there is a phenomenon basically known as state transference, which is if you kind of have a particular state, very often you will transmit that to other people. It's why if you watch somebody laughing, you kind of feel almost compelled to laugh or smile. If you see someone crying, it affects you. Even yawning, somebody else yawns, it triggers them to yawn. So it's kind of emotional state transference. And if you show genuine passion about your topic, the content of your presentation, that transfers to your audience and they start to feel emotionally caught up and passionate in what you are talking about and how you are saying it as well. And so it becomes this kind of self-fulfilling circle that means you feel passionate, they get caught up in that, they seem less of a threat and of an enemy, so your adrenaline reduces, your kind of rational brain takes over, and once your rational brain is kind of back in gear, then you're in exactly the pace you need to be because you are fully, fully in control. That is what happens when you do public speaking. That is why you get nervous. And these are the things to think about that are going to help you handle it. How was that? Well, man, I timed it perfectly. We're at 1:30 exactly, which is where I always like to be with these lunchtime presentations. I know you guys are eating or having your sandwiches or just taking a break from work. So I want to thank you guys for joining me. Thank you for the comments. Ros says you've cured me. Ros, that's fantastic. Yeah, looking forward to working with you again the next time. Guys, if you have found this useful, I'm really, really pleased. If you want more, if you're kind of serious about working on your communication skills, and we know really that you've got to be because so much of our careers and business depend on how effectively we can communicate. If you are serious about working on it, or you want to at least explore developing your communication skills further, then do get in touch with me. If you're watching this on my social media, just message me on that platform, whichever one it is. LinkedIn's kind of my main one, so you can reach out to me there. You can book in directly for a free strategy session with me. There's the link. If you can scan it with the QR code, see if that works, or just type it in greatspeech.co/get-started. And yeah, reach out. This is what I do. This is what I'm passionate about. More importantly, I am hoping that helped those of you who have always had a problem with nerves and public speaking. You are normal. It is natural and you can control it so that it gets out of your way and you can give great presentations. That is it for today. Ros, your course is transferable. Oh my goodness, communicate and connect us. Oh, fine. Ros, you're embarrassing me now, so that's enough there. Jules, thank you for that. I hope everybody else who's watching, and I know those of you watching on the replay, I think you can still comment in the chat, so feel free to. But either way, I hope that was useful, and I will see you on the next live session. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Bye.